proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another broadcast. We conclude our study of Hebrews chapter 10 by continuing the author's argument comparing the old covenant made with the Jews at Mount Sinai to the new covenant made through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Under the first covenant, God told the Jews, quote, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up," unquote. Under the new covenant, however, God will inscribe his law on human hearts. Under the old covenant, God called individual transgressors to account for their sins. As he told Ezekiel in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, quote, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," unquote. Under the new covenant, transgressors can become, quote, "justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus," unquote. Under the old covenant, God would blot out from his book the names of all who had sinned against him. Under the new covenant, he promised to no longer remember the iniquities of those who sinned. As the writer of Psalm 103 put it, quote, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us," unquote. The phrase, "remember no more," should not cast doubts on God's omniscience. He does not forget matters as a person might forget. Indeed, according to Hebrews chapter 4, quote, "All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The author of Hebrews related why the Levitical sacrifices no longer were necessary. Quote, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin," unquote. The word remission, as presented in this context, referred to God's willingness to pardon sins as a result of Jesus Christ's atonement. The Greek word for remission, aphesis, implied a deliverance from bondage. Jesus Christ used that term in that sense in Luke chapter 4, when he proclaimed in the synagogue of Nazareth that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, quote, "to preach deliverance, aphesis, deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty, aphesis, to set at liberty them that are bruised," unquote. In his letters to the Ephesians and Colossians, Paul employed aphesis to denote the forgiveness of sins. He more fully explained the concept in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he wrote that, quote, "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them," unquote. By stating that, quote, "there is no more offering for sin," unquote, the author of Hebrews proclaimed the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ's atoning death on the cross as a means of expiating transgressions. But what about those people who disdain to accept the benefits of the Savior's act? Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, the author noted that for them, quote, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries," unquote. According to Leviticus 17, God accepted the blood of the offerings as a means by which the Jewish people could receive atonement for their sins. But that blood in and of itself did not suffice to expiate sin. Take, for example, David's adultery with Bathsheba. When he finally acknowledged his transgression, as he wrote in Psalm 51, quote, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering," unquote. He went on to say that the sacrifice of God was a broken and contrite spirit. The Bible never recorded David bringing sacrificial offerings to the priests in the temple when he sought for God's pardon in the matter. If God can forgive David's sins without requiring such offerings from him, this fact demonstrated that the Levitical sacrifices alone would prove inadequate for the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus Christ's atonement paid the penalty that God required. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.